Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
And what a great destination you happen to stop by, The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com, The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. This is going to be a fun show today. Terrence Noonan is our special guest. We'll tell you, I'm going to tell you all about him right now. We'll go ahead and go through the whole bio. Residing in Washington, D.C., Terrence is a four-time Emmy Award winner, currently an executive producer at WUSA-TV in Washington. Prior to doing that, he was the co-executive producer of The Morning Show with Mike and Juliet, and syndicated by 20th Television nationwide. Over a 15-year career in television, Terrence has produced hundreds of successful lifestyle, business, reality, brand, celebrity segments for The Rosie O'Donnell Show, Life and Style, All Year Round with Kathy Brown, and The Isaac Mizrahi Show. Also, Terrence worked for a couple of years at Sony Pictures TV in daytime development. Actually, was a producer on the Ellen DeGeneres' and Living It Up with Ali and Jack. Terrence is also the author, which is what we talked about a little bit earlier, actually, on last week's show, Starring You, The Insider's Guide to Using Television and Media to Launch Your Brand, Your Business, and Your Life. It's a HarperCollins publication, and this is kind of cool. This coming fall, Starring You will be offered as an online college course at universities around the country. Boy, talk about using multiple media to promote your product. So kind of cool. That is Terrence Noonan, and we'll have him on for a few segments here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Also have... very shortly, Patrick Meyer coming up, the marketing insider out of New York, talking about the iPhone. And Jean Bliss a little bit later on this hour, the customer experience. Customer whiplash is what she's doing. Somehow I think a lawyer has been put in the space here. Yeah. I was reading about the Axe deodorant, how women don't like that. So good thing I don't use it, through the body stuff. But
it's a man's deodorant anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, but they don't like the smell of it on men. That's what they're suggesting. Old Spice, this is kind of interesting. You couldn't get by over the past couple of weeks not seeing Jackie Moon on television, who is also known as Will Ferrell. That's his character in the 1970 basketball film called Semi-Pro. Basically, he's got the whole thing, the afro, the headband, and the short shorts. Basically, what he's doing now is he's going to be a spokesperson for Old Spice. You would think high karate or something like that. I don't know, from the 70s, because Old Spice is really not a 70s fragrance. It's more of like a 1950s 40s. Fragrance, something way back. So I don't know. Did you see any of the stuff that Will did on the various late night talk shows and early morning shows?
You know, I have not, and I wouldn't say I'm his greatest follower or fan. You know, the character that he tends to do in a lot of those movies, not unlike the star of Office. And I'm sorry, his name escapes me right at the moment.
But I know you're talking about, yes.
They tend to do the same character when they go into, you know, feature films. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I think I saw that character on the last film or in Ferrell's case, Saturday Night Live. You know, I don't know. But no. And the reason why he's only speaking on behalf of Old Spice and not the others, English Leather and Jade East, they're not around anymore.
I think you can still buy those things if you go to CVS.
You?
Yeah, I seriously think you do. Not that I would buy those, though. Thank you very much. I'm a polo guy, okay?
So are you a fan of Will Ferrell?
Oh, he's good. I liked what he did. He's an interesting character. And you know, I think you have something right about that as far as, he does kind of carry a lot of himself into the various roles and such. But then again, so do a lot of other actors, too. So I don't know. Yeah. Listen, we got to take a break here. We've got Patrick Meyer coming up on The Advertising Show. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's The Marketing Insider, featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today, I'm going to rant and rave not only about the iPhone, but about Apple and what they've done in the last 10 years. So here are a couple of lessons learned looking at the iPhone that you can apply to your business as a marketer. Number one, they were down and out 10, 15 years ago as a small computer company that was struggling relative to PC. But their mantra, their positioning was all about think differently. And when they built products, they focused on the consumer and delivering a different experience that enabled that consumer to have a better lifestyle. So when they came with iPod, as an example, completely upset the category, different form of solution. Then they came with waves of iPod, different colors, different sizes, enhanced. So they completely took the category by storm. Then they went forward and came with the iPhone. And the iPhone is not a cell phone. The iPhone happens to be a personal enabling device that gives you everything from cell phone to entertainment to texting to emails and beyond. But across all of this, there were times when they didn't have product news and they filled in with marketing news. When they came with U2 and Bono on a special edition of the iPod. Or the day that Rosa Parks died and immediately on their website was a picture of her that saluted her and said, think different. For next year's marketing plan, or whatever you're working on as a marketing and advertising professional, map out the next 12 to 18 months of what do you have that's news? What do you have that you could tap into? What are things that your target audience is passionate about that relate to your brand or could relate to your brand? In the case of Apple, think different. In the case of your brand, it's whatever its essence is. So think like Apple, think episodic.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your marketing insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Of course, Patrick Meyer, always a great segment here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Doesn't this book sound absolutely phenomenal and fun? You want to do some cool stuff in your life. Starring You, The Insider's Guide to Using Television and Media to Launch Your Brand, Your Business, and Your Life. Terrence Noonan out of Washington, D.C. We'll be hooking up with Terrence here in just a few moments on The Advertising Show. What is that you're holding there? What is that?
Well, I'm holding the phone number of Steve Carell. With The Office. No, I'm kidding. who would have ever thought that the writer's strike would have a positive effect on cable ratings? Well, seven of the top 10 ad-supported networks in February have seen their primetime viewership swell by double digits, Ray, from January 28th to February 24th. Nielsen reports that the top 10 nets averaged 24.9% increase in total viewership during primetime, a figure inflated by CNN's surge of 133% for its coverage of the presidential primaries. But even that factored in, Ray, the other nine networks averaged more than a 15% gain. So I would suppose that they're not happy about the ending of the writer's strike, but we're happy while the writers were on strike because cable won a bit there, it looks like.
A little bit, yeah. That and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. How many different ways can you do that show? They did them all, okay? There was nothing left. And maybe a tie into the mafia or something like that. You know, if you win $1 million, they're going to come shoot you. But, you know, we're fans of beer, also fans of Stuart Elliott and of the New York Times. And basically what they're saying, there's a Mexican beer that is going online to market itself. Decades ago, the brewers determined that television commercials were just about the best way to sell beer, as anybody can attest to. I'll drink to that. But, you know, This Bud's for You Tonight, Let It Be Löwenbräu, all that kind of good stuff. The Hams beer. You ever had Hams beer? I haven't had that in a
while. Well, I saw my father drink Hams beer in the late 50s, but no.
Okay, now the Internet makes it possible for beers whose sales volume or marketing budgets aren't ready for television to use the power of video, sight, sound, motion, as the advertising professors once intoned, to reach potential customers, beer drinkers. A Mexican import, Pacifico, that's an okay beer, is filling its website with Mexico via Pacifico.com. It's 30 brand-centric video clips that celebrate life centered on sun, sand, surf, street food, and a willingness to eat extremely hot peppers or play checkers with bottle caps. That sounds like a place for me, as long as they have a golf course there. The videos...
They're missing something, Ray.
What's
naked,
that?
Mexican women would be a great way to drive men to your site. Men are the primary market there, so I don't
suppose.
Know whether they're missing it.
Well, maybe if you go to the site, you could probably find out if they're there.
Well,
I don't know. Creator is Seattle agency that produce that stuff for them. We are going to take a break here on the advertising show, being powered by Shipple.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. And the website and the product also has a thing called Tendency, which is an incredibly hot marketing tool. Check it out. We'll be back in just a minute with more. And, of course, Terrence Newman is coming up on the advertising show.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Congratulations, Mrs. Benderson. You're the mother of a future president.
Well, name him Stanley.
Will Stanley, boy.
Thanks for being here on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth and a very special guest out of Washington, D.C. in the conference room this weekend at WUSA Television. It is Terrence Noonan. Terrence is author of a book, as we said, starring you, The Insider's Guide to Using Television and Media to Launch Your Brand, Your Business, and Your Life. He's also a consultant working with companies and individuals, public relations, marketing, brand development, and recognition through media exposure. And through all that time, you still had time to sit down and write a book. That was pretty cool.
I did. And, you know, I realized that I want to bring you with me wherever I go.
Yes.
So you could just introduce me.
Fine.
Yeah, because I feel like you did such a great job. I just need you with me wherever. Like when I go to Starbucks, I feel like you should say who I am first.
We could create something. Why don't we create something you could wear?
Raise Union.
Yeah.
Raise
Union.
Well,
you know, I was just customer of the week at Starbucks, and I have to say it was my biggest honor.
I'll be more than happy to do that.
You get free coffee for a week, so you have to always be thinking about a deal.
In media and marketing and radio and television, free is a good thing, isn't it?
Free is a good thing, and I'm telling you, the reason the book came about was because to me, you can't get any kind of other advertising the way you can if you can take advantage of the media.
Yeah.
Well, and look at you. You're doing it right now, Terrence.
Of course, because I have to be an example of my own book. And one of the things that was so important when we wrote the book was, you know, a lot of people – I didn't want people to think, oh, here's this guy. He's won Emmys. He's had a successful career. He's decided to write a book, so he just went and they gave him a book deal. I mean, we had to basically do what everybody else did, and I think that if you follow the principles of that we show in the book and you learn how to produce things and you learn how to take advantage of the media, not in a bad way, but taking advantage of what's out there, you can use it to change your life. And I've seen it countless times from major celebrities to people working behind the scenes to people that are consultants. I mean, there's just so much opportunity.
Yeah, and you're an insider, and you're a great person to write that book. Let's talk a little bit about the book. Ray mentioned you've worked in lifestyle TV for a long time, contributing to shows like Rosie O'Donnell Show, Isaac Mizrahi, and Ellen DeGeneres, among others. So, Terrence, what were your greatest misconceptions about the TV world before getting into it?
I think the number one for me was TV is impossible to get on and to be part of. When I wanted to work in TV, I used to walk down the street at CBS and I'd drop off my resume every single day. I, as a kid who grew up on Long Island, did not think that I even had a chance to work in TV. Hmm. I'm still shocked by, I'll meet people and they'll say, well, I want to be on TV, but I don't think I can get on, or I don't think my idea is good enough. And what people don't realize, and still to this day, is people that are working in TV are looking for ideas. They're desperate for something new. They need companies to come in to help them subsidize, you know, segments that they're doing. That, to me, was the number one. That it seemed to me that it wasn't this impossible thing that you couldn't connect with. It's not as hard as people think.
It sounds like you've been an achiever all your life then, Terrence.
Well, you know, I honestly, when I was in college, I wanted to go into law. I decided my senior year that I wanted to work in television. I think the one thing is you have to be persistent. You have to let people know that you're interested, that you have something to bring to the table. And I think the number one rule of wanting to work with the media is that you will make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
That if someone calls you and says, I need you to do this, that you will deliver it. You will make it happen. And when you do, people in TV or other forms of the media will continue to go back to you because they know that you'll deliver.
Yeah, and I guess credibility is obviously a big issue. And once somebody, you know, burns a producer, they're blacklisted not only with that one producer, but the word gets out real quickly because it's a small network. And you guys, you know, you all talk among one another and you trade ideas, I would assume, right?
And not just that, you have to remember that there's always going to be, especially when it comes to these daytime shows and in news, people go from show to show. People go from news to news. So you don't want to, you want to make friends with people. There's a great person I have in the book. Her name's Charlie Rock. She's a PR person. I've always had a great working relationship with her. No matter where I go, she's one of the first calls I make. And I say, hi, here I am. I'm working on this. Send me what you have. When people don't deliver and people become too much work, you're right. Not as, I wouldn't necessarily say that they're blacklisted, but you just don't bother with them because there's too many other people to go to.
Yeah, and you make a phone call and say, send me all you have, and they go, wait a minute, we need to chat about this
but
person.
But you know what I'm going to tell you? I cannot believe how many people do not take advantage of opportunity. I am shocked. You know, I can remember giving away cruises, and these cruise lines that have major are paying thousands and thousands of dollars to PR agencies to promote them and to get them some coverage. And I would say, oh, that's great. We're going to give away a cruise. Send over some footage of the cruise ship so that we can, you know, roll it into the show when we tell the person where they're going. Oh, we don't have that.
Missed opportunity. Yeah.
You don't have it. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're selling your boat.
Yeah.
Or they'll send a picture of a horse on a beach. And I'm like, we want to see the glitz and the glamour and the indoor golf course and the ice skating rink. And, you know, I mean, these are the things that when I wrote this book, I literally thought, I don't have anything to say. I mean, Marta, who I wrote the book with, she created the Style Network. She was for years at E. We both didn't realize that things that had become so second nature to us, people just didn't get.
Have companies become a little more sophisticated? I mean, do they know now to have B-roll footage for you guys? Are they up to speed with all that today as opposed to, you know, 10 years ago?
I think that some companies are. I still think that a lot of people don't realize, you know, I will get a press kit. I will get a presentation that they've spent months' time working on. It looks fabulous, nice paper quality, but not one idea in there. Producers that's not where they're thinking. They're thinking, what can you bring to the table? How can you make my job easier? Mm-hmm. And I think that companies have started to realize it. I think a lot of people have gone down the route of having a public, you know, a PR person. I think that's something that you really have to be careful with. And I think that when you're having someone else sell who you are, you need to make sure that they're selling, you know, the right brand.
So there can come a time when actually having a PR person, if they're not handling things right, is not such a benefit, and maybe handling it yourself could be actually seen as more credible.
Well, I think that no one can sell you as good as you can sell yourself. I don't think that you should ever entrust that someone is really out there selling you the way you would sell yourself. I have often said to people, you know, this isn't even what this is about. Are you sure that this is the person that you want representing you? And you also want to make sure that these people have the right contacts. What are they doing? How are they pitching you? How are they selling you? I think when you have to be on the same page about what is your brand and what is your platform.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that too, Terrence. Here in our business, you know, constantly looking for voice actors and such, and there are many that are represented, and there are many good agents out there. But I think the majority of the people that we pick, we know, we've heard them, we want them, and we know how to find them very easily. And a lot of these people who are self-represented are doing a great job of promoting themselves because they know how to do it. They know what their assets are. They've talked to somebody that can give them some good direction, and they're doing a great job of promotion. So with that said, we've got to take a break here.
Okay.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, Terrence Noonan, our guest out of Washington, D.C., the author of Starring You, The Insider's Guide to Using Television and Media to Launch Your Brand, Your Business, and Your Life. We've got more, and we hope you stay with us here.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
DJ Thomas.
There's a whole new way. Glad you're able to spend time today here with us on The Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. You probably ought to get the book, okay? Terrence Noonan is the author of Starring You, The Insider's Guide to Using Television and Media to Launch Your Brand, Your Business, and Your Life. Terrence, great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. And I don't think we should say probably ought to. You have to get the book.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a must-have.
Well, these are people on the fence. You know, they're saying, yeah, pull the card out, you know. So we say go ahead and do it.
All right. Well, if they get the book and they don't like it, I'll give you my cell phone number. They can call me. I'll explain to them why the book is worth it.
There you go. That's a good endorsement.
Well, let's say it another way. If you do not have any products to promote or any services to promote, or you don't want to promote yourself or your boss or anybody with your company, this is the wrong book to have.
If you're not interested in any of that, then go out and spend your money on something else.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you'd mentioned working at CBS. A lot of our audience, probably most of our audience, are unaware that you used to work as a page at the Ed Sullivan Theater on the Letterman Show.
When I started, that was my first job. I was a CBS page, and this is a honest to God true story. When you worked in the page program, they'd put you at different television shows that were going on, and I worked at the Joan Rivers Show.
It was
when they switched it over to Can We Shop when they tried to do sort of a QVC. Mm-hmm. And my job was to hold a piece of Crackle for her, a Crackle little Hershey miniature.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my glamorous television job, was to do that and not to sweat because she didn't want the chocolate to be melted.
When you said Crackle, I thought that was a new line for her makeup.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So yeah, I did, and I still have my page uniform. They used to send me letters asking for it back. Because I always said that I would make my child wear it for Halloween. But, you know, it was such a great experience, and it was where I really realized I just loved TV. I grew up on it. I love the Brady Bunch. I love seeing what it can do for people. You know, one of the things, Paula Deen wrote Our Forward.
Right.
A lot of people don't know her story. And, you know, really, she is an amazing person. I mean, she was making sandwiches that she would send her sons out to sell.
Really?
Business people. And that's how she started.
Oh, my God.
And when, you know, if you really think about when Paula came about, it was when everyone was branding themselves Atkins, healthy, low carb, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. She stuck to herself. She was true to who she was.
Yeah.
And look at what it's done for her.
Yeah, she's hot. She's hot.
I wouldn't say she specializes in health food. And truly, a rags-to-riches story, Paula Deen, if you don't know that story. And, I mean, I think people just love to see someone like that succeed coming from her background. You know, let's jump into some nuts and bolts of your book, Terrence.
Sure.
You say that Starring You teaches readers how to become successful through your foolproof process. Take us through the essential steps in this process.
Well, right? I think the first thing and the most important thing is really understanding what your platform is. You know, a lot of people, when they decide that they want to take their brand, their product, or themselves and reach out to the media, they just say, okay, here I am. And that's not enough. And so, you know, you're not going to get booked. You know, I've met with people who say, I want to be on Oprah. Okay, well, you know, everybody does. But there's a lot of steps in between. So the first thing you need to decide is, who am I, what am I about, and what am I going to bring to the table? And when you can come up with something that is true to yourself and is unique and is not what everybody else is doing, then you can start getting ready. I'm working with a doctor right now in Washington who has a brand. He's young, he's hip, he's a dermatologist. He's now starting to do local TV. To me, that is the best place to start. You have to start working those relationships. You need to start getting yourself out there. You need to come up with unique ideas. It's not enough anymore to just say, you know, I'm a great stylist, you need to have me on your show. I have a great product, you need to, everybody wants to use the media. So what you need to take those steps before you even reach out. You don't want to waste the time if you get the chance to get a producer on the phone.
Not to mention that it's, you know, you need that training ground, don't you? You need that comfort zone before hitting the big time.
You know, and I think what people forget is that producers on the big shows, Today's Show, Oprah, we're all looking for the next great get. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Oprah found Nate, you know, Nate, who's her interior designer. Everybody's looking for that next great expert guest, Dr. Phil. And so those people are going to come from a local station somewhere. Mm-hmm. They're going to have started somewhere. By the time they've made it to the Today Show, if I'm working at GMA, it's too late because I'm not going to take someone that's over at the Today Show. So what people forget is producers are looking in all these small markets. A good mm-hmm. guest is a good guest. It doesn't matter whether you're on the smallest station or you're on Oprah or you're on Ellen. If you're good, you're good, and you will get booked.
That's it. We've got a local guy here, Dr. Joe Galati. He's a liver specialist here in Houston, and the man does a radio show. It's great, but he needs to be on TV. He needs to be exposed that way. He's got a great personality, a good look, and everything. And we keep saying, Joe, you got to get on TV. So that's what you're looking for. It's interesting,
right? And to remember, what is it that you're hoping to get out of it? You know, mm-hmm. are you looking for this to be something that is to promote your business? Susan Taylor is a great example. She's a doctor. She's in my book. She's from Philadelphia. She's done GMA. She's done Today. But you know what she says? I always do my local market. Why? Because she needs business.
Hmm.
And people that are watching the Today Show that are living maybe out in Texas where you guys are not going to fly in to Philadelphia in most cases to see her.
Yeah.
So for her, it's a business decision.
It's a local thing, yeah.
There are people who say, I want to be a host, I want to be on air. Well, then it's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a business owner, you need to go where your customers are.
That makes sense. Makes sense a lot. We got to take a break here, Brad. Terrence Noonan is our special guest.
We have too many breaks on this show. I need to just be on. I'll come back next week.
Well, no, don't come back. Don't go anywhere. Terrence Noonan, author of Starring You. See, we get to say the name of the book more often this way. The Insider's Guide to Using Television and Media to Launch Your Brand, Your Business, and Your Life. Starring-You.com is the website. We failed to mention that. We'll be back with more in just a minute on The Advertising Show.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
And see, aren't you glad you tuned in today? Terrence Noonan is our special guest out of Washington, author of Starring You, The Insider's Guide to Using Television and Media to Launch Your Brand, Your Business, and Your Life. Terrence, it is a real pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thanks. It's been great. I don't want it to end. I might have to call you guys at home or something.
That's fine. We'll continue the conversation.
Okay.
Not a problem.
We'll give you Ray's home number.
That's fine.
Yeah, I want all your home numbers.
There you go.
That's okay. You know, you were talking last segment about developing a platform, and it's essential in transmitting one's worth, I guess, in the TV biz. Talk a little bit about, I guess, pitch letters. You know, we receive a lot here at the Advertising Show, and I got to tell you, the difference between the pros out there that really know what they're doing and most of the other stuff we receive, it really jumps out at you when you get a good pitch letter. Talk about
it. It really is true, and it's, you know, I think I mentioned it before. It's such a shame because people are so busy picking out folder colors and fonts and what's going to be in there, and they're forgetting that all you really need to, the strongest thing that needs to be in that pitch is, what is the segment? What is it going to look like? When I teach people how to write pitches, I always do it, it should be one page, never more, and you always want to say, here's what the segment will look like. Because that's how a producer will get the visual sense. If you're pitching to do a story and you're going to use a doctor and he's going to perform, give someone new, if you're going to use a dentist and you're going to do a dental makeover, here's what the segment will look like. We're going to meet the doctor, we're going to meet the person, we're going to give them a makeover. That's what you need to do, because a producer needs to see it and it needs to look like what they can envision the segment to be. Mm-hmm. It's not enough anymore to just say, oh, I have a great doctor for you. You know, I think the worst offenders of all pitch letters are book publishers. And I wrote about it in my book, and I was like, God, HarperCollins is going to drop me before the book even comes out. But, you know, the other thing to remember is, and this is one of the things we talk about in the book, know the shows, know who you're pitching to.
Right.
If you're going to pitch a story to Ellen, it needs to fit the Ellen brand.
Yeah.
If you're going to pitch a story to Primetime Live, it needs to fit the news brand. You need to take right. the time to, you know, one pitch does not serve all customers. And you need to figure out what is the nugget that is relatable that will then get those people interested. And I think one of the mistakes people make is not paying attention to what's going on with the shows. Is someone pregnant on a show? You know, I remember when the Tony Danza show was on, when he was becoming a grandfather. You know, there were so many great pitches that if you were any sort of brand that had to do with, you know, becoming a grandparent, baby raising, kids, yeah. that you then start sending letters. You know, you have to be specific. And look, producers have big egos. They want to feel like you're watching their show and you're paying attention.
Sure.
When I worked at Rosie, I used to get letters like, "Hi, Terrence, we have a great segment idea for Roseanne."
Oh, great.
And I'd be like, Roseanne? First of all, Roseanne's in L.A., number one. Yeah. Number two, she's crazy. Like, well, I mean, I guess Rosie is a little too. But whatever, that's besides the point. Yeah. Why, you know, that offends producers. And I'm telling you, now the third thing, free stuff works. Bribe people, I say.
Ah.
You know, if you are a cookie manufacturer, well, then you send the cookies. You're going to, you know, if you have a great new product, send the producer the product. Yes, there are all these rules what you can and you can't take, but believe me, any producer that tells you that they don't like seeing a little bit of a freebie, it's a nice cheer up at the end of the day,
yeah.
that and then they feel guilty. I always feel guilty when people send me stuff, so I always call back.
Ah.
So it's like, do what you have to do. Live your life, and you have to think like a producer. You have to start thinking like they would think.
Makes sense.
We're supposed to check under our chairs, Ray, at the end of this segment.
Who has the lucky ticket?
Terrence has set us something. Yes.
Yes, exactly. No, the book is not free, but it's certainly well worth the investment. Starring You, The Insider's Guide to Using Television and Media to Launch Your Brand, Your Business, and Your Life. Starring-you.com is where you can go to find out more.
Yes, and you can email me and you can send me your thoughts, and I write back to everybody, so I would love to hear from people.
That's
except
a kind
for you
thing.
Two. You two are not allowed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else but you two can email me.
We somehow got on the list, and we're not sure how, but that's okay.
I blocked you. You're in my spam folder.
Terrence Noonan is our guest. Terrence, continued success with what you do, because there's certainly a passion there, and you do it good.
Thanks, you guys. It's really a pleasure.
It's been fun having you here on the Advertising Show. We've got more in just a minute.
I'm coming to Texas to visit you both.
Okay.
Thanks, Terrence.
I'll be home. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
No one's going to call you a Hollywood queen. They will think you're a model in a magazine.
And what a great guest to have on the show today. Terrence Noonan, author of Starring You, The Insider's Guide to Using Television and Media to Launch Your Brand, Your Business, and Your Life. It's starring-you.com. So check it out. And what a pleasure. That was a good find, Brad.
Yeah,
not
a
bad
guest.
So it's kind of cool. Hey, by the way, I have this is interesting. About a week ago, actually a couple of weeks ago at this point, Lipitor with Dr. Jarvik, the gentleman who invented the heart thing. Yeah, the artificial heart.
Yep.
They Pfizer pulled their Lipitor ads that featured Dr. Jarvik, whose endorsement came under congressional fire earlier this year. Okay, his name is Dr. Jarvik. He invented the artificial heart. And listen to this. In the ads, which began their heavy rotation on television and in print in 2006, Dr. Jarvik touts the benefits of Pfizer's cholesterol-lowering drug, the world's best-selling medication, Lipitor. In a statement Monday, the company said it would provide greater clarity in their advertising regarding the presentation of spokespeople. The House Democrats say the ads could be misleading to consumers because Jarvik is not licensed to practice medicine. Now, I don't quite understand that. I mean, he is a doctor. He did invent something, and it's a nice tie-in with the product. And right. He never said that, you know, all he's doing is pitching this stuff. I don't understand why the Democrats have a problem with that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
That's strange.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Because, he did a great job, too. Those great commercials. So all of a sudden, let's put all that stuff on the cutting room floor and figure out what to do next. So, again, I'm not clear why that makes that.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
Something like that, yeah. How many times did Dr. Whatever his name was pitch coffee or something? You know, he's not Juan Valdez. Hey, we've got Jean Bliss we've got to let in here for just a couple of moments. The customer experience, and she's talking about customer whiplash. Make sure your seatbelts are on for this one.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Hey, the University of Michigan's American Customer Satisfaction Index for the fourth quarter of 2007 just came out, and they revealed something that customers around the world already know, and that's that there is a disconnect between the experience we're having in a company's store and their website. Survey says e-tailers scored an 83 on a scale of 100 compared to an overall rating of 71 for store operators. Is this an aha moment? It seems that it is. The fact of the matter is that we've taken the humanity out of the web experience. The customer controls it. And even though some sites are clunky, those blips are often forgiven. In the stores, on the other hand, there are more variables and the customer expectations are higher. You'd expect a salesperson to greet you and have an answer to the question. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. You'd expect the store layout to be easy to understand and even an enjoyable experience. In the end, the brand suffers because customers expect and deserve the right hand in-store experience to connect with the left hand, the web experience.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
And on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, as always a pleasure, Jean Bliss, the customer experience. Customer whiplash, that had to hurt, but glad to have Jean here. We hope you enjoy the show and hope you enjoy the guests we have. I mean, last week it was Alex Ben Block, Terrence Noonan. This week there's always something good around the corner, and always somebody interesting that we know you just love to listen to. That's why you come here and listen at theadvertisingshow.com. So,
yeah, anyway. And if you want to know and you haven't signed up, you can get email alerts to tell you who's going to be on from week to week, or just visit the site at theadvertisingshow.com. You can check it out. You know, Ray, we knew it would eventually happen. Sony recently said that it was opening up its in-game advertising platform in an attempt to boost ad spending in video games. Hmm. The move creates an open competitive marketplace for third-party ad sellers like Double Fusion, IGA, and Google's AdScape to sell ads in games running on Sony's PlayStation 3 video game console. So now when your kids are playing, PS3, they're going to be exposed to some advertising.
Not a problem. Don't mind that at all. Don't mind that
captive
at all.
Captive audience, yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's funny, there was an article, this is an Ad Age article, it says, what TV ads will people watch when they don't have to? Okay. There's a global consortium of influential marketers, major ad buying firms, and popular media outlets quietly funding research they hope will solve a tough mystery. As TV viewers exert more control over the small screen in the living room, can they still be persuaded to sit and watch advertising? It's called Beyond 30, as in Beyond a 30-Second Spot hopes to discover. So this is in Murdoch University in Perth, Australia. So basically they're trying to find out what happens beyond the 30 and how to get those eyeballs and responses to what they see.
Well, you and I have talked for a while now. We
are just about out of time, though.
Well, we'll talk later.
Okay. Advertising show. You can buy Advertising Age magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.